Well, what's going on with this playbook? You got to be realistic about what you got. Otherwise, you're doomed to failure. Steve, I want to make one more point, and it's a big one. A big one. I didn't get a Fig Newton. I didn't get a cookie. I didn't get a cup of coffee.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, your sage of Tampa Bay sports, everybody's favorite sage on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. We got a quickie edition, Ira, a rare quickie edition. You've been so busy doing your holiday things and having fancy dinners, hanging out with Todd Bowles. I know we can't really talk about that, but it is true, so I'm going to say it. Hanging one-on-one with Coach after a rough loss. That's kind of interesting. All the fun we got today, Ira, is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Now, this is the time of year where you get the best deals, the best promotions, the best specials, and your trade-in is still worth the 2022 value. Next month, it's going to be worth a lot less. This is when you get a deal done. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, that's the family name. C-U-R-R-I-E, the Curry family, 62 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. GM Sean Sullivan, our buddy, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, the host of the Best in Class podcast. He is ready to help you personally, also give you the Ira Kaufman discount. They're giving away $1,000 Amazon gift cards just for ordering a vehicle. So many great offers, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty, Bill Curry Ford. And as always, Ira, we let people know you got to stock up on Big Storm beer and spirits. Right now, Big Storm beer, Florida's best craft beer, brewed locally. Tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton, Orlando at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, Big Storm Brewery. Try it. Be a hero. Be that guy who brings the best beer to the holiday party, the Bromosa. It's in the stores. Big Storm beer, wherever you buy craft beer. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, you know, mold and floods, they don't care what time of year it is, Ira. They don't care that it's the holiday season and your family's coming over. And so you have to have somebody to call 24/7. That's Florida's Elite Restoration. They're at floridaselite-restoration.com. They're going to respond. And the Sage is going to respond now, Ira. What happens Sunday now that you've had more time to think about it, to look at it, to hang out with the coach, to hear the feedback? What happened, Ira? What do Bucks fans need to accept out of that loss?
Well, of course, I was sitting there with Lee DeKemper. And for most of the game, you know, I got a pretzel in one hand and a cookie in the other and a drink to wash it down. Steve, that's the way you do it. I'm going to give you a very simple explanation. I don't care that football's the ultimate team game. I hear all the cliches, Steve. I don't think it applies on Sunday. That one's on Brady. That one's on number 12. Tom Brady. And it's not so much that they didn't score in the second half until that little garbage touchdown that didn't mean anything. It's the giveaways on the short fields to a very good offense. Steve, the story of that game, which I think's been the story for most of the season, not all, but most, the Buck defense deserves better. I thought Tampa's defense played a hell of a game. I don't care if it when you read the stats that Burrow had four touchdown passes, the Buck defense played outstanding. The Bengals had 237 yards. The running game was non-existent. The first half, Burrow had zero people to throw to. Every ball was contested. Carlton Davis was outstanding. You can't keep giving them the ball on your side of the 35 and the 40. That's not on the defense. Brady choked that game away. He did. Even the Fournette handoff goes on Brady's side of the ledger. Now, he said he's got to play better, and he can't do those things. He didn't duck the responsibility, but that's on Brady. I'm sorry. And I think with rare exception, like the San Francisco game when the Buck defense was terrible, no excuses, terrible. With rare exception, this Buck defense is good enough for them to be 9-5 right now with a little semblance of offense. Can you have a semblance of offense? And, you know, now we're not talking about not scoring. We're talking about not coughing the ball up, which hasn't been a problem for much of the season. The problem's been scoring. You know, where's Rashad White in the second half? Where's Mike Evans in the second half? Something's going on with Evans. He was the first guy off the field. I think there was still time on the clock, and he ran to the locker room, and I was there to watch him. I don't even think the game was over. He's on his way to the locker room. Something's going on with Evans. I don't know if he's pissed off at Brady. Maybe he is at this point. Steve, you've been keeping track of his touchdown streak. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. Steve, didn't he score 26 touchdowns the last two seasons? Are my numbers wrong?
Yeah, you got it.
26 touchdowns. And now, Steve, what is it? 11 weeks?
10 in a row. Now, to be fair, he dropped one in Carolina. So yeah, that was gift wrapped. One was taken away with a Donovan Smith hold. But, you know, maybe there isn't a touchdown throw if he doesn't hold. But still, regardless, it's a little ridiculous. It's not like anyone is picking up the slack. That's the problem. It's like they're not throwing the ball to Mike Evans in the red zone the way they used to. And I don't necessarily get it, considering he's as healthy as he typically is. And he's still dynamite on 50-50 balls. It's strange.
And Steve, one more point. Talk about a missed opportunity. Missed opportunity within the game. You're up 17-0. And missed opportunity in the standings. And by that, I mean you already knew that Carolina, kind of inexplicably, now maybe not because Carolina is not a very good team, inexplicably loses at home to Pittsburgh, which is playing out the string. Another feather in Mike Tomlin's cap, by the way, because they're still playing hard with nothing to play for. And they avoided their first losing season under Mike Tomlin, maybe delayed it, but they avoided it. That's a terrible loss for the Panthers. And if the Bucs would have won the game, a game they were up 17-0, Steve, they would have been two games up on the Panthers. And it's all about minimizing, Steve, in my mind, it's all about minimizing the impact of the January 1st matchup. You don't want that game to be life or death. You don't want that. Because the Bucs have proven they can lose to bad teams. I don't care if that's the game's at home. You don't want that game to decide the NFC South crown if you're the Bucs. Why do you want that? They could have been up two games on the Panthers, and then if they take care of business Christmas night, they got at least a two-game lead, and Carolina's playing Detroit. I think they got a pretty good chance to lose that game, and that would have eliminated the Panthers. They're done. They would have been three games back at that point, and the January 1st means nothing. Well, that scenario's out the window, and now that game is going to mean something. So it was a blown opportunity at a critical time for this franchise.
I tried to tell you guys last week that Carolina stinks. I mean, you can spin it all you want. They stink. You know, the Bucs are third entering last week's game, 38% conversion on third downs. That's not good. Not good. Right. That's like 22 or 23. Carolina's was at 28. They were terrible in that game. They're just no good, Ira. And I wasn't surprised to see the Steelers win that thing. I read a stat. Carolina, I think it's a streak now of 41 consecutive games where they have not had a fourth quarter comeback. When they trail entering the fourth quarter, it's like 41 games in a row that they've lost, which is ridiculous. But it speaks to that they just don't have any juice to the team. You're dead right. I mean, the Bucs have set themselves up to, even if they win in Arizona, and even if the Lions beat Carolina, the Bucs have got to win that game against the Panthers to avoid or to try to set up a Week 18 where they have it locked up. And so you're getting into a must-win game. But Ira, I got to ask you this because it's driven me crazy, and I know it's been on the minds of fans, and you know there've been a lot of things to argue about as it relates to that game. But I have to say, Ira, putting all the factors together, all of them, every single one, as far as who's on the roster, the way the game was going, the where the talent is on this team, the score, everything. That decision to go for the fake punt on the 26-yard line, that is one of the worst I've seen in the last 20 years. I can't think of much worse than that as far as a coaching decision. What's your thought?
Now, Steve, I don't want you to be a hypocrite because we've been yakking that Bowles is too conservative. But you're saying that didn't make a lot of sense. I can't argue against you. You know why, Steve? Because even if you convert, even if you do everything right and you gain 6 yards and you keep possession, Steve, you're still in your territory. There's no guarantee you're going to score any points on that drive. Whereas, you know, if you're at the 50 and you convert, you know, you're on your way to probably at least a field goal. So in that respect, Steve, from that yard line, you're right. It didn't make a lot of sense. Just like going for it on fourth and two from your own 27 and trying to run for it doesn't make a lot of sense, Steve, because you're still going to have a long way to go. So I didn't like the call. There's still some mystery about Gio Bernard. I'll say this, Steve. You've watched it a million times. He didn't look like he knew that the fake punt was on. He didn't look that way. Maybe he's trying to cover up for somebody else by taking all the responsibility. Bowles says he knew the play. He didn't look like he knew the play. But you're right. That decision at that time. But, Steve, we have to say that play didn't decide the game. It did not. As a matter of fact, they held them onto a field goal, right, Steve, on that drive,
they,
I believe?
They did. Brought it to 17-6. It did not decide the game, Ira, but two things on the hypocritical front that you mentioned. One, I will say we've talked many, many times about momentum. You know, we've referenced it. Players referenced it. Todd Bowles basically gift-wrapped a change in momentum to the Bengals in addition to points because they were in field goal range if it didn't work. So, I mean, that was just – I just can't wrap my head around that, Ira. Also, the play itself, if it's fourth and one and you want to go for it, shouldn't you just go for it? It's fourth and one. Just go for it. Yeah. If you want to go for it, you know, we've talked about, yes, he should take more, should be less conservative. You know, going for it on your 48-yard line, like you said, Ira, that's being a little more aggressive. Going for it on your 26, I don't know what you're really set up to accomplish. You explained it very well. Just a strange call that Bowles didn't own. He never said, and I wanted to ask you about the accountability front. He never said, that was a bad call, wrong time. You know, we didn't coach it up well enough to have everybody on the same page, and I gave away 3 points. He didn't say that. He threw it all on Bernard, and he said that it was blocked up so well they would have gotten the yardage. I think that's debatable when you look at the replay, too. What did you think of Bowles' accountability on that twice when he was asked about it?
I wasn't surprised that he didn't say, I regret the call, and I shouldn't have done it. In his mind, it was perfectly set up. We'll never know, Steve. I mean, had they executed the play, we'll never know. Maybe they gained 6 yards and keep possession. But I didn't like the call under the circumstances, and especially, Steve, the yard line that they were on. However, let's be fair in this podcast. The onus has to be on the 4 straight giveaways, and there's no getting around
it. No. It's four. Look, 4 turnovers in 11 snaps. That's what it comes down to, Ira. 4 turnovers in 11 snaps. Jameis Winston didn't do it. It's unacceptable. It's unheard of. On Tom Brady's podcast, Snoop Dogg was a guest. I know you listen to a lot of Snoop Dogg, Ira. But Snoop Dogg, when Brady brought up the fumble and he explained it just squirted out of his hand, that he's never done that in any level of football before, Snoop Dogg cut him off and said, is that father time? And Brady laughed. He said, what it is father effing ridiculous. That's what he said.
It's a great line by Brady.
Yeah,
that's a funny line.
It was a great response and just explained that, no, it's not father time. So, Ira, like you said, that hasn't been an issue. So there's no reason to think it should continue. I'm not worried about Brady running into a turnover frenzy here. But do you think that's father time? Do you think what happened to him is just another sign that he's 45 and not what he needs to be, or is it something else?
He looked every bit of 45, Steve. And here's another play. I'm sure you've watched this about 9 times. Wasn't there a play down there to Cincinnati goal line where it looked like you and I could have scored? And there goes Brady, and he got tripped up like at the 3-yard line. 3/4 of the quarterbacks in this league score standing up, Steve. I saw open ground over there. And his lack of mobility really showed up on that play. Now, look. Brady's Brady, you know, and ever since that great combine photo of Brady looking a little paunchy, he's never been known for his mobility. We all understand that. But, Steve, when you look around the league, I can't say this enough. Josh Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, you know, Hurts, Fields, Lamar Jackson, Herbert, they all move. And I think it's inhibiting the Bucs right now. It's inhibiting. Is he Tom Brady? Yeah, on occasion. But, Steve, he didn't play well in San Francisco. He didn't play well against the Bengals. He's not finishing with a flourish. We'll see what happens Christmas night. Arizona stinks. They suck. The head coach is hanging by a thread.
Yeah, they're awful.
They're awful. They don't have a quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins is standing there. Hey, can somebody throw me a football? Their biggest weapon is James Conner.
Ira, I heard this week, and I got to ask you. Rich Eisen, you know, he's got a show. He called the Bucks game in Germany. He meets with all the team officials out there, the coaches, all that. And he's a likable guy. The players love him around the league. He's the voice of NFL Network. And he's not a hot take blowhard. You know Rich Eisen quite well.
Yes.
The point is, he's on his show, and he's talking about Brady's future. And he says, well, you know, if Brady's sitting there thinking, hey, I can still sling it, and all I need is a better offensive line and a system that suits me a little better, I'm good. I can still play, and I love the game. Then he says, if he's thinking that, then Eisen cuts himself off and says, however, I don't know. All you hear is that he's handling the system. And the implication was that Brady is in charge of much of the offense. So if he's looking for a system that suits him better, maybe that doesn't really make sense, since he sort of has a system right now that he's tailored to himself. That was the strong implication. And we know that Eisen isn't hearing things from people, random guys on the street. So what do you think of that?
I have a problem thinking that Brady's in full control of this offense. You know why, Steve? Because if he was, they'd be scoring points. This is Tom Brady. He knows how to score points. He's the greatest that's ever done it. And I don't think he would, I don't think he would manufacture and craft an offense that's dumping off 5-yard passes left and right, that's pissing off Mike Evans in the process. I don't think this is Brady's offense. I wish he would, I wish he'd take charge a little more, Steve, quite frankly. Maybe he will down the stretch. Where's Bruce Arians? Nobody knows, Steve. Nobody knows. He's watching Byron Leftwich go down the tubes. Leftwich may not even get a darn interview in January. Might not. And Arians is watching this. There's a lot of hands potentially in this offense right now. And for one half, it looked damn good, Steve. Bengal defense isn't bad. Middle of the pack. Maybe even a little better. Maybe number 13 in the league. Not bad. And the Bucks had their way with them. Plenty of yards. Plenty of first downs. Good on third down. I don't know. Doesn't look like a Brady offense. I think he'd take more downfield shots if he had a chance. I do.
Sage, would you be surprised if I told you that Mike Evans is on track, clearly on track, for the most targets he's had since 2018, and that his average yards are receiving right now at 14, that's where he's been for 1, 2, 3, 4 years of his career, including 2020 and 2021. What's been missing is the red zone, but he's also catching balls at a higher percentage than he has for his career average. So do you really think Evans is pissed off? Why do you say that?
He caught 5 balls, I believe, in the first half for, I think it was 83 yards, Steve. I think he had 3 targets in the second half, didn't have a catch. Last time I looked, the Bengals secondary didn't have Darrell Revis wandering around back there. I think he feels he can do a lot more damage. Throw the ball up and give him some chances. Give him some chances. We're not seeing a lot of those, one-on-one balls that Brady has confidence that Evans is going to come down with it or it's going to fall incomplete. I'm not seeing too many of those. By the way, Steve, and I might as well mention this for our audience, I am still recovering from a hell of a dinner at Burns last night, thanks to the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, our sponsor, Sean Sullivan. Thanks again, Sean. And for 3 hours, all we did was talk about Bucks. All we did was talk about the Bucks for 3 hours. And one of the things that came up, Steve, and I think I asked the question, and I'll ask it to you, Steve. When's the last time Brady threw a slant pass? I mean, the last time. A slant pass. You might say, well, Mike Evans isn't the type to turn that into a 40-yard gain. He's not Antonio Brown. I understand that. I don't mean a quick screen pass to Godwin. I mean a slant pass that every other quarterback throws quite regularly in the league. Steve, is that play out of the Buck playbook? Well, what's going on with this playbook?
He's thrown a couple of them to Julio Jones, but not many at all, and nothing like that is going to the tight ends for the most part. I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know who's in charge. Like you said, it to me, it's a great mystery. Bowles influence versus Leftwich versus Brady versus both of them without Arians versus Arians chirping around. I don't know. There's really no answer to it. You know, you got to know who to call when you have that disaster. Because emergencies strike, flood, storm damage, whatever it is, pipe bursts, whatever it might be, you need someone you can trust, and that's Florida's Elite Restoration. When you call them 24/7, you'll get that free assessment. You'll also get $500 off if you need their services after the free assessment. All you have to do is mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan, and they're going to take care of you. Maybe that's cash for your deductible if it's an insurance claim, or that's just money back off something that they repair for you to get it right the way it should be. Florida's Elite Restoration. You know, you might worry about having a disaster this time of year. They are working. They are there for you 24/7. Don't wait. A lot of insurance companies won't cover you if you wait before you try to mitigate an issue, especially mold. And you might be cleaning around your house for Christmas and you find nasty mold in the garage. You just can't wait. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Steve, I want to make one more point, and it's a big one. A big one. Steve, you can't overstate how much is on the line the next few weeks for this whole organization. Things could look so, so different depending on what happens. And I'll say this, Steve, even if they win the division at 8-9, that means they win two out of their last three games. They win the division, and they lose by 10 points to Dallas at home in the opening playoff game. Steve, just because you won a division, I don't know. I might be inclined to blow it up. 8-9, and you lose your first playoff game. I might blow this team up. That means Levante David. That could mean Donovan Smith. It certainly could mean Tom Brady. Maybe they don't want Brady back at that point, the Glazers. And if Glazers are calling the shots, this ain't a Jason Light thing about the direction of the team. Steve, they win the division. They beat Dallas. You know, then they go on the road. They lose at Philly or San Francisco. Maybe I look at things differently. And Steve, the third scenario, we don't want to think about it. They don't make the postseason with Tom Brady taking every snap. In this division, they don't make the playoffs. Now you got to move on. You have to move on, Steve. You got to be realistic. You got to be realistic about what you got. Otherwise, you're doomed to failure.
Well said, Ira. Well said, Ira. And for me, speaking for myself, that includes the head coach. I mean, if you can't beat three miserable teams in a row.
They're all going to have losing records, Steve. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
All of them with losing records. All of them with guys who are backup quarterbacks. Sam Darnold's not a starter in this league. And they're going to face the third stringer, McSorley, I believe, in Arizona. And then Desmond Ridder, the third-round pick rookie who debuted to, I think, 98 yards he had passing in that game. I mean, three bad teams. All of them may be tanking. We don't even know, but you know how that works. If Todd Bowles can't find ways to win this game, you really have to question his ability to get a team ready to play. I don't know how else to say it. And, you lose in the first round of the playoffs, you know, at home. And if it's Dallas, they're a team that's struggling, that clearly has some holes. It's just bad, and I would be inclined to blow it up too, Ira. But hopefully they win all three and get to the playoffs and do some damage. Maybe they can get to Philly without their quarterback, and who knows. But we're just dreaming at this point. It's one game at a time. Sage, we're keeping it super tight today because we don't have Lee. We'll be back soon with our second podcast, which is going to go deeper on a lot of things. I can't wait to throw some a fun nugget at you. But you know what? I'll throw it to you now because I said I was going to. I realize I just teased that. Last thanks to Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. And Big Storm Beer, BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you see all the beers, all the spirits. There's a big ad at Joe Bucks Fan for the spirits. You can look at them there, actually. And check out the menu, BigStormBrewery.com. Ira, Harold Goodwin was on the Buccaneers Radio Network. And you know how he is. Candid, tough talk kind of guy. He made it clear that the Buccaneers offensive line this year, they're great, and he says he's a tough grader. He says they deserve collectively, and he's not factoring in injuries. He said that doesn't factor in. C+, B- for the line. That's their grade. Some, high C, low B. So let's just give him an 80%. He gives him an 80. If you got a line that's grading like that, yet you have the worst yards per carry in the league,
yes,
and no running game, and you are like 28th in scoring. Where is the problem then? Who gets the lion's share of the blame? So I'm going to ask you that. And do you believe that Goodwin's giving an honest grade there?
I would go C minus, Steve. I think I'd give him a D minus in run blocking. That's not to say that Fournette and White are blameless. They're not. But you and I watch the games. There's not a lot of big holes carved up. They're not getting to the second level. Not often. And I give them, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, Steve. I've said it all season. I think they get a B in pass blocking. I got no problem with their pass blocking. Donovan Smith's recent problems notwithstanding. Brady has thrown more balls, Steve, you know this, than anybody in this league. Anybody. He threw more balls last year than anybody. He's going to set the all-time record, Steve, for most passes attempted in a single season. Tom Brady, 2022. It's not like he's under siege. Now, look, he's very good about getting the ball out, Steve. We can't argue that. He can move within the pocket a little bit, but he's very difficult to sack. Sacking's not been a problem. And if he wants to get the ball out in the second and a half, that's on Brady. That's on Brady. To me, he's not doing that because somebody's in his face. Not that often. The 49ers roughed him up. Yes, they did. But they did that to Tua, and they're going to do it to other people, too. That's the 49ers. So I give the line a C-minus. I think Goodwin's being a little too nice. But when you factor everything in with the Marpet retirement, it's a hell of a blow. You know, the center going down the second day. There's some extenuating circumstances. I got him at C-minus, Steve.
All right, Sage, we're out of here, and I just have one final yes or no question for you. Are you prepared for this, Ira?
I believe I am.
All right, so when you had your private sit-down with Todd Bowles, and you go hang out with Todd Bowles, did he have a cookie for you or some sort of donut or anything, half a sandwich for you?
Not only didn't he offer me anything, but I brought him a Christmas present. I had a book from a guy named Joe Horrigan, who's on the Pro Football Hall of Fame staff, and he wrote a book about 100 years of NFL football. Very entertaining book, very interesting book. I read it a couple of months ago, and I decided to present it to Todd Bowles, and when I gave it to him, I said, Coach, there's a little light reading for you, 100-year history of the National Football League. And he scooped it up, and he was very appreciative. To answer your question, Steve, I didn't get a Fig Newton. I didn't get a cookie. I didn't get a cup of coffee. But you know what, Steve? That's okay, because 20 minutes later, I was sitting at Burns with a feast in front of me. No problem.
All right, Ira. Well, Bowles has plenty of reading on the way to Arizona, and hopefully it's not a long flight home where he has to read even more. But we'll be back before that game, and we're out.